This story has everything to do with old houses. In fact, if it hadn't been for an HVAC job at one of those old houses in the hill section that Scranton is known for, we might not be here right now. We learn that Dominic Azzarelli's occupation focused on HVAC and welding. It may have been in the 1980s when one of Dom's jobs took him to that old mansion in Scranton where he set about tearing down walls so he could proceed with the task before him. Margot, his wife, will tell us that, as if out of a movie or an old saga from the 19th century, Dom discovered a trunk behind one of those walls. And the contents of that trunk may have changed Margot's life. Inspired by what they found there, she began researching the history of Scranton and the region. With Marnie, Margot and Dom's daughter, Margot had found a perfect writing partner, and they brought out a number of historical profiles of regional sites and towns. But that wasn't all. They also began writing plays inspired by the contents of that trunk. And Margot and Marnie have continued writing ever since. Now, back to Dom and the old mansion. His obituary relates that he would use his construction skills to not only help others, but to create magic. For more than a decade, he designed and built sets for community and school theaters throughout the region. He fashioned a hotel bar from the 1800s in Providence, a haunted house in Massachusetts, a 19th century London, and a beach house in New Jersey. Just some of the worlds he was able to create on stage. Not just because he was a true lover of Edgar Allan Poe, there was a theatrical project that couldn't have been a more perfect match for his passions. What would Dom imagine for a stage adaptation of the Poe story, The Fall of the House of Usher? The house in that story is almost a character in itself. Anthony Vidler reminds us in his study, The Architectural Uncanny, that the house or the manse has provided a site for endless representations of haunting, doubling, dismembering, and other terrors in literature and art. And so, Margot and Marnie set about adapting the Poe story while Dom dreamed up the set. That's when this story takes a cruel turn. Dominic became very ill, and he passed away in August last year, not able to attend the official opening tonight of The Fall of the House of Usher, adapted by Margot and Marnie Azzarelli, and presented by Actors Circle at Providence Playhouse in Scranton this weekend and next. The production is dedicated to Dominic Azzarelli. Margot and Marnie paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the project, and Margot begins with the trunk.
I started with local history when Dominic found a trunk in a house that was from a family that dated back to the 1830s that lived here. He did HVAC, so he would rip down walls. So he was working over on Washington Avenue in one of the mansions, and he took down a wall that I guess was never taken down since 1925. And there was a trunk of all things from this family dating back to 1838.
Including hair.
The burial hair. They take the funeral hair and all that. So he started bringing me home letters, and the letters read like a play almost on its own. So the owner of the house at the time wasn't interested in the trunk. So one day, here he comes with the trunk. So I was able to read all about E.B. Sturgis and George Sanderson. They were all letters and things from them.
Founders of Scranton, basically.
Yeah. So I was starting to get ideas. And that's when I learned about the riots of 1877 here. And that was the first thing I wrote. But we got a lot of stories from that. And then that got me hooked into other history of different areas in the city, in the county, like Taylor book, that was my first one, and Green Ridge. And we did Labor Unrest, which is based off of the riots and Johnny Mitchell.
So some of it is actual history, and some of what you've done, you've made into plays.
Exactly. History is in the books. We do fiction, historical fiction on the stage. That's how we always kept it.
We've gotten, how many plays from that trunk?
Oh my gosh.
Because there's 1877, it's... there was the other one, and then the three Bristols, four or five plays
just from, and I'm still, that was in the year 2000, still haven't finished going through that trunk yet, so there's there so could much, still be
it's
more.
It's a whole family's history.
How about you, Marnie? When did you start getting the writing bug?
I mean, we used to make up stories because I watched a lot of Sailor Moon as a kid. So I remember times where we would be sitting or you'd try to get me to fall asleep at night as a kid. And you'd be like, okay, I'm going to make this prompt or come up with a prompt. Now you keep following it. And we just make stories together, which probably leads to us writing together this, and how well we work. So that's where I kind of got the bug. And throughout my teen years, I definitely was a very emotional teenager writing online with a live journal and all that fun stuff, and kind of went from there.
And I think it's interesting that you, Mom, write with pen and paper, and you, Marnie,
on computer. I have terrible handwriting, so it's easier for me to understand what I'm saying.
I don't think I've read a more moving obituary than for your husband, Margot, and your father, Marnie, Dominic Azzarelli. You have to introduce us to him because this show that you're producing is dedicated to him. So introduce us to him.
I met him in 1988, so we were together almost 38 years. But we always had adventures since we met, and he was quite the character. And when it came to something technical, like for the stage and solving problems, he was the one you went to. He wasn't a writer, but he had the ideas, but he could do anything for the stage. So it's been a little hard being at the theater without him. Because we were hoping to do this together. And he used to do Edgar Allan Poe.
He knew the Raven by heart.
Yes. He did it for the Iron Furnace.
Anyone who asked him to do it, even if they didn't ask him, he would do it. And he loved history.
Yeah, he loved Mark Twain. He's for the library. Yeah, those were his two favorite.
Well, then when and how did you decide to adapt a play by somebody else instead of creating it yourselves?
Well, I liked the story. And then Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan show.
Mike Flanagan from Netflix. I loved it when I watched it. And he had a whole different take on it from the original. And then I read that there was already a play that had been adapted, but I didn't like it. So I came to her and we came up with the concept of this. And Dominic was still alive when we were working on it. Then he always built our stages, and this one's a tough one. And he already had it in his head. Even when he was sick, I just wish he wrote it down for me, but one of his best friends stepped in and is doing the stage for us.
Well, tell us the premise.
Oh, sure. So this is a different type of adaptation from it. We're still kind of keeping the same thing where there's a Roderick and a Madeline Usher who live in this falling apart haunted mansion. And in our version of it, another Usher comes back. We named her Annabelle. Annabelle Fortunato. So I like taking little Easter eggs from different Edgar Allan Poe stories and putting them in. She comes back with her husband, and she has Usher blood in her. So she's the last Usher in that family line, and there's a lot of ghosts, there's a curse, a nice old Gothic house. I'm a big fan of Gothic stuff, and that, again, comes from her and her Gothic romances that she introduced to me as a child, and all the Universal monster movies, which helped with that as well. So I'm just trying to get that atmosphere of Gothicism and spooky atmosphere in a modern sense, too, because it is set in modern times.
It's set in modern times.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And what size cast are you working with? You mentioned Roderick, Madeline, the two.
There's two. Yeah, those are the leads right there. Lee, Annabelle, and Madeline and Roderick are the four leads. And then we have a bunch of ghosts, Usher family ghosts that sporadically show up. You don't know when they're going to pop out or where.
So lighting would be critical.
Oh, it's very, very important.
Very.
And I'm thankful of my best friend, Kate Martin, and her husband, Connor Martin, are doing my lights and sound for me. And I had them from the start. So even today, she texted me, do you want this sound for this scene? She knows how specific I am and detail oriented. And so we're at least on the same page with each other with that, which I like.
You're directing?
Mm-hmm.
And you're?
I'm assistant director.
There are a couple of things I noticed that, okay, I need Ma to look at this so I know, does this look right for me? Because I like to be a creative that reaches out to other people, because criticism and feedback can be hard. But I need it to know that what I'm saying is coming off the way I want it to come off. And what I'm doing is coming off the way I want it to be shown. So I like having eyes on my stuff at all times.
Is it one author of this adaptation, or did you both work on it?
We both worked on it. Yeah. We wrote it throughout my father being sick. Yeah, so it was kind of, she kind of started off with the concept and all that. And then I took over when she had to take care of him more. So it was both like a monkey on our back, but also kind of a relief to work on it. It was a good distraction when we're having a tough time. Yeah.
How did you conceive of Roderick? Is he like Dom at all?
I think honestly, the way I wrote him sometimes, it's like a mix of both my father and my mother. Because she deals with a disability with her foot from a couple of bad surgeries and just having a bone spur and a breakage. So she's constantly in pain. And I played off that for Roderick because he has to constantly be in that bodily type of pain. But he also he's supposed to be skinnier and looking older and things like that, which I saw with my father, sadly. And I really based even the one monologue I have Roderick say at the end was something I wrote while my father was dying. So there really is a deep connection between this show and my father. And that's why we want to dedicate it to him.
Who is playing Roderick then?
Chris Eibach. He's wonderful. He's worked with Jason Miller when they had Scranton Public Theater. Yeah. He's a longtime actor. He'd worked with Diva back when they were doing stuff at the Leonard. And he's fantastic. He's one of my favorite actors in the area because he's so natural.
And he was Dominic's best friend as well.
Yeah. Most of the cast, besides a couple of the newer people we brought in, all knew my dad or worked with him in some capacity.
How about Madeline?
Madeline's played by Marcy Herman-Reby. You guys had her on multiple times before. She's another one. She's worked with my dad a lot because they would be in a lot of Michael Pavese's plays together. So I was very happy to have her be my Madeline. And she doesn't have a lot of lines, but she has a lot of heart. And a lot of spooky, good facial stuff she does too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How are you evoking ghostness?
Oh, I try to do that every day of my life.
Well, we're all horror fans.
Yeah.
And Justin O'Hearn, who is our top ghost, he's a big horror fan. So between the three of us, we've got a lot of
coming up with noises. And I like paying homage to other horror movies I enjoy. So I'm taking some cues from Insidious, The Haunting, the original, the 1960s Haunting. Oh, Exorcist 3, there was one scene that I took from a little bit too. So
yeah, and I've been watching horror movies all summer, actually, you know, focusing more on the sounds and how that affects the reactions. So I've been trying to do a little bit of homework.
Yeah, where there should be sound, where there should be a lack of sound is always a fun balance to play.
And that tension, you have to have
that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
When Annabelle comes and her husband, they are contemporary too. They're not coming back from the past.
No. They're contemporary. I do have Roderick and Madeline kind of living in the past because that's how the whole Usher family is. I base the Usher family off of a lot of older rich families in America. So they are that type. But Annabelle and Lee definitely have more modern sensibilities. Lee especially, he's my psychic medium character in the show who has a YouTube channel and he's kind of stuck in that YouTube time period. So I like playing with all the newer stuff and the older stuff and meld them together.
Yeah.
Last time I read Fall of the House of Usher, it seemed to be very claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You find that sense that somebody might want to escape, but you're all in this together or not?
I would say so. It takes place in one room besides like maybe one scene, and that takes place in a crypt. So it's an even smaller claustrophobic area. So yeah, we do keep it just in this one opulent but degrading living room the entire time.
And that would be good at Providence Playhouse, right?
Yeah. It's just the right size stage.
I try to think of both the actors and the stage I'm working with or hopefully going to be working with when I write a play. And I definitely have AC in mind. Okay, this is what we have. This is what we can do. This is what we've done before.
You mentioned sounds, but what about music? Any incidental music or in or out?
There's some funny, because there is a lot of funny moments too. We want to balance out the dark with the light.
Right.
So Lee is very much our comic relief for a lot of the play. And there are funny moments where we're going to use sound.
Not too long ago, Naomi Klein wrote a book that became an instant New York Times bestseller, and she called it Doppelganger, A Trip into the Mirror World. Is there some mirroring in this story, Madeline, Roderick?
Yeah, there is a definite bond. And there is some surprising mirroring type moments in the show as well, which I'm glad those kind of worked out together. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned humor. You have to have humor. But part of what you would hope to do, since you are lovers of horror, is you kind of want us to shrink back and go, ooh. So you got a lot of those moments, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. And trying to keep it again in the gothic style where it's the ending can be considered bittersweet in many ways. I'd rather play with horror the way I enjoy it, which is the spooky tones and the fun you can kind of have, which is a weird thing to say with horror, but you can have fun with it.
Why do you think we like horror? Why do you like horror?
I like horror. I like anything, like old romance books, not new ones, that takes me out of reality and puts me somewhere else, even if it scares the Jesus out of me. That's why I like it.
I think, again, with that catharsis, that's a big part of it, of just being able to live out something that you're not necessarily in, and then you can just leave it afterwards and be like, oh, good, I'm not there. I can do whatever I want. But I also love horror, and that's why John Carpenter is one of my favorite directors. It's such a way of showing social things with another twist on it, kind of like Rod Serling with The Twilight Zone. I've been going through all of them, where he'd show this world of fascism and dictatorships, but it's like an alien world, so people could understand it and take it in better. And I like horror for that reason of I'm telling you this bigger message, but I'm hiding it underneath ghosts and monsters and things like that.
Now, we have a good long run. It's not just one weekend, right?
Nope. We're going May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 8th, 9th, and 10th. The Friday and Saturday shows are at 7, and the Sunday shows are at 2. And all that information's on actorcirclescranton.com. If you want to order tickets, it's actorcirclescranton.com/tickets. We're also on Facebook. We have an Eventbrite page. So if you put an Actor's Circle Scranton in your Google, you will find us.
And we have two specials. Friday, May 8th, right after the performance, we'll be doing a Q&A. So anybody who enjoys the show or Edgar Allan Poe, they can stay and discuss it with the crew and the cast.
And hopefully we'll have answers.
And then our Mother's Day special is a mission on that Sunday, May 10th, will be $10 for all mothers. And you don't have to show proof. Just walk in. Say Happy Mother's Day, whatever. And it's
but if you want to show pictures of your cats and dogs, we'll see. Accept
yeah,
those.
Yeah, you can be a dog, mother, cat, mother.
Yeah.
Margot Azzarelli and Marnie Azzarelli speaking with us about their original adaptation of The Fall of the House of Usher by Edgar Allan Poe that will have its official opening this evening, May 1st, and the show will run through May 10th, and that's at Providence Playhouse, 1256 Providence Road in Scranton, presented by Actors Circle. Marnie Azzarelli is the director, and as we heard, Margot Azzarelli is assistant director, and they co-wrote the piece, the adaptation. And the show will have performances Fridays and Saturdays at 7 p.m., and Sunday matinees, the 3rd and the 10th, at 2 p.m. That's the original adaptation of The Fall of the House of Usher by Edgar Allan Poe, and it's mother and daughter. It was adapted by Margot Azzarelli and Marnie Azzarelli, and Marnie is directing, and Margot is assistant director for the production at Providence Playhouse, 1256 Providence Road in Scranton, presented by Actors Circle. Shows Fridays and Saturdays at 7, this weekend and next, and there are Sunday matinees the 3rd and the 10th at 2 p.m. For more information on the web, actorscirclescranton.com, actorscirclescranton.com.